Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Francis.
Jamie.
Would you ever have an affair?
Obviously not.
No, be honest, okay, if you were married, would you have an affair?
No. Why are you asking that? Well, obviously you would.
No, obviously I wouldn't have an affair. I've just been watching a TV show called The Affair. It's on, like, Now TV, and you can watch every episode with the Now TV Entertainment Pass.
And you're getting some ideas about that?
No, I'm not getting ideas. I just love Ruth Wilson, who's in it.
You love ruthless affairs on your loved one.
No, I'm freaking happy, thank you very much.
Well, you're in your first flush of romance, aren't you?
Okay, well, look, I'm just saying, we're actually kind of past it now, because instead of all that, we're kind of like cuddling on the sofa watching box sets and things like that.
I guess it's a good thing you've got the Now TV subscription then, isn't it?
Exactly, and I'm so excited to go home now, because I can watch Boardwalk Empire, Sex and the City, Dexter. Like, they've actually got over 300 box sets on there.
How are you supposed to get through all that?
Francis.
Yeah?
When we go on tour, I might be a little bit lonely.
In what way?
Will you...
I don't like where this is going, Jamie.
Watch box sets on Now TV with me.
Which one?
Billions.
I do love Damien Lewis.
And how about cuddling?
Don't push it.
Oh, what's up, people? Hey, how you doing? Sorry, I'm just going to be talking to you because I'm going to swear, fucking Francis is not here. He's doing something else, and so... we've got another episode without him, which is cool, though, because I'm way better at hosting than he is. He kind of sits and gives little jibes. Oh, Jamie this, Jamie that. He's probably like reading a book or plucking his nipples. You know, he plucks his nipple hair. He also, whenever he takes a shit, he has to take all of his clothes off. How weird is that? What is if he goes and has a date? Like, he has to take all of his clothes off and take a poo. Very weird. Anyway, sorry, I feel bad that I'm bad-mouthing Francis when he's not here. But today on the podcast, we have Amelia de Moldenberg. Now, Amelia is a young, very talented YouTuber, comedian, scriptwriter. She is so many different things. She studied at Central St. Martin's, and she's probably best known for Chicken Shop Date. So if you're a YouTube fan and you've watched that series, it's basically where she takes different people on a date in a chicken shop, and mainly they're kind of rappers. They're kind of hip-hop artists or garage artists or music in the music industry. And she plays this amazing person who it kind of just is a bit like awkward on the date. And so I'm kind of excited to find out if she's going to be awkward on our date. Not that it's a date. We're not having a date, but like it's kind of a date. It's in the diary, which basically means it's a date. It's not like it's not a romantic date. It's just more a date. Not the one that you eat, though. Anyway. I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Amelia de Moldenberg for Private Parts.
Clap, Jamie.
Okay, we're in.
Beautiful. I don't want to give anyone the clap. That wouldn't be good. Sorry, that was a silly joke,
that was
wasn't
a good
it?
One. It's a good one.
Why? Yeah, it's because you didn't get it.
That's no, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And then I got it.
Okay,
well,
now. Okay, well, good. Well, you actually it's just bit, got it. No, I didn't give it to you. So you can't. Listen.
No, I don't have the clap.
What a way to start our podcast.
Good. I'm glad you don't have the clap because Pete, on the other hand, you riddled with the clap. Also, can we just understand that you just were, I mean, that was a hassle to get ready just then, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It's just that the microphones are like the weight of a small, like, dinosaur.
So wait, so the weight of the microphone made it to...
No, and also I was just a bit further... No, I'm going to sound like I'm being... Hey. Nothing happened.
Hey, well, no.
I just sat down. You asked to put the pillow under it. It just didn't work.
I did not ask...
The feng shui was off.
I did not ask to put a pillow underneath you. No, I didn't.
No, you did. You didn't look ridiculous.
Wait, also, hang on. Did you just say feng shui?
Feng shui.
It's not feng shui.
Feng shui.
Feng shui.
That's what I said.
No, you went, oh. Feng shui. You went the feng shui.
Can we start from the beginning again?
Yeah, let's just start again. Hey, I tell you what. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. So this is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. Hey, I'm very excited to announce because we have Amelia de Moldenberg.
Hello.
What's up?
What's up?
I think we need to start off one thing. Okay, this is your surname is a tricky motherfucker to understand. I feel like it is. I feel like if someone reads it, how do they pronounce your surname a lot of the time?
It's phonetic. It's literally phonetic. It's Dim Oldenberg, Dim Old and Berg. So you just have to read it.
Yes, but I feel like it's like Dutch or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know where it's from. My dad's Jewish, and okay. That's all I know. About him. No joking.
So it's a Jewish name.
It's Jewish.
Name.
I'm Jewish.
You're Jewish.
Not Jewish.
But your father's Jewish.
Yeah. I just did a joke, but you didn't get it. I'm Jewish.
No. I got that as well. Right, that was very much like my clap joke at the beginning that you didn't get either. The banter is rolling, everyone. Hey, listen, we got to start things off basically because you have one of, I'm going to be honest, my favourite YouTube kind of thing. Like, it's a YouTube series, right?
Yeah.
100%.
Oh, that is so nice of you to
and
say.
I'm not saying this. So Amelia and I first met, and Pete's here, by the way, so I haven't even introduced you yet. We're missing Francis today, but we're going to get into that in a second. But
we're
going to get into that in a little bit. I was up in Edinburgh for Edinburgh Festival, and I was at this YouTube party, and it had Russell Kane kind of like doing things and all this kind of stuff. And Amelia, you were sitting there, and you were sitting about for three seats away from me. God, it's creepy that I'm doing this. You were wearing...
I was wearing a beige jumpsuit.
And the weird thing was, you know, as I saw her from her window, she was going to wear a big measure of ice.
Stop.
As I was stalking you over...
She smelt amazing.
Yeah, she changes perfume occasionally, but that is actually the worst thing. Do you ever get that when you have on Facebook? So when you fancy a guy or a girl and you sort of been sort of stalking them, that's literally what it is. You've been stalking them and you know exactly what like bikini they wore last year
to pretend that you don't.
Yeah.
And you have to pretend you don't. But we met at this YouTube event, YouTube party, and you were sitting there. And I was literally like, God, I think this girl's great. I really want to go inside her. And so I suddenly went, okay, I'm just going to do it. So I walked up to you and said, hi, Amelia, big fan. And you went, okay. And I went, do you not remember this?
Yeah, I didn't say okay.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you were really diva-ish.
No,
you were so nice. What did you say?
I said, I'm such a big fan of you.
Yeah, I didn't want to put that in there in case you forgot that you said
that. Oh, right, so it was a setup.
Setup.
I'm such a big fan of you and Made in Chelsea. Like, I can't believe I'm on this podcast. It's so cool.
No. I tell you, this is where it becomes so great. It's likewise the other way around because your YouTube series is freaking so great. And I kind of want to get into it because you went to Central St. Martin's.
Yeah, for uni.
And what were you studying there?
I was studying fashion journalism and I also went and did the foundation there. So as soon as I left school, I went to school in London and then I did the art foundation at St. Martin's, which is in a different building. And
sweet.
Which is sorry. Fun fact. Just it's in a different building.
Yeah. Not funny, but interesting. So in case you wanted the blueprint.
Which is now a block of flats. They've shut it down. It's really sad. So basically, anyway, so yes.
Yeah, so that's it.
I went to university.
So this is the thing. So you wanted to be a journalist, or what was it?
So the story, start from the beginning. Begins when I basically got an email through from my IT teacher when I was in sixth form about this youth club in Northwest London, near where I'm from, in Royal Oak. And they basically made a magazine, and it was like, anyone could go if you're under 21, so not anyone, and you could write about
anyone.
Go,
you get some really weird I thought anyone could go to this.
You could go, you have to be under 21.
Like, that really clear.
And live in Westminster. So basically, they made a magazine, and you could write about whatever you wanted.
Sick.
But it had to be music, culture.
You can be any age, whatever you want, but you've got to be under 21. It's
to be fair, you could pretty much write about whatever you wanted, but everyone there was like super into music, and specifically rap music and UK rap and grime. And obviously, as a huge McFly fan at the time, I wasn't as into the music, but I wanted to get to know it. Also, just so I could be part of the conversation, everyone was talking about it, and I literally didn't know what to say. So I was like, I need to interview these people.
Because you wanted to fit in, or what was it? Because you actually just thought, this is going to be an interesting like topic to face, because I'm going to be the sort of listener, or like the person who I'm going to be the audience, in a sense, because I know nothing about it.
Well, I've always been interested in as a journalist, I'm interested in people that I don't know anything about, or worlds that I don't know anything about, because I want to understand, I want to educate myself, I want to learn about them and their music. And now I'm like a huge fan. I feel like, from starting off as someone who didn't really know about the music, I've now totally become like,
so you're
obsessed.
Now fully in. But is that because, but being a journalist, right? But I just don't think I would call you a journalist.
Basically, I don't really know what I am doing.
Oh, hey, preaching to the choir over here. No idea. What do you do when you get to that point? You know, when like you say,
it's at a dinner party, when someone goes, "So, what do you do?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm just going to go to the toilet and just."
I'm just going to go to the toilet and take a shit.
leave this part of the conversation.
Do you know when you get like this? You're sitting on the flight and you get those, you're flying to, like, normally it's to anywhere outside the EU, so like if you're flying to America, and they give you one of those cards and it says, hey, can you just fill out this card so you can just like do whatever. And it gets to your occupation.
I always go
entrepreneur, and I can never spell it, so it's always entrepreneur. What do you put?
Day before yesterday I was come back from Morocco, and you have to fill out a landing card, and I put writer, which
edgy
is edgy, because I was like, if I put journalist, they're not gonna let me in, because they think I'm uncovering some kind of story.
Who are you trying to impress?
No, I don't know. Like, exactly. It changes every time. I think before it was like YouTuber, and now it's like writer.
Are you hoping that when you get to the border and the border control look at it, they're gonna go, oh, and you're gonna go, I'm a
very successful novelist. You may have read some of my books.
Do you know what? This is my personal opinion, and this is to no offense with anyone out there who's a journalist. I feel like journalists, they're going to take offense, aren't they? I feel like for some reason, journalists have a slightly odd kind of ring to it for some, because it's not the same as this, but if you say to someone, you go, oh, I'm a footballer, people automatically associate you with something, which possibly isn't true,
football.
Right? Well, yeah, they do. They actually...
Immediately.
Oh, right. That guy must be good at football.
But you know, they have some, I suppose, negative connotations.
Yeah.
And I think for sometimes a journalist can have that as well. Or is that just me thinking it?
I think maybe you've had some tough times in the press.
It depends.
No. Not really.
No, not really.
No.
I feel like it's either... It's two-sided, because obviously there are some journalists out there that are like out to get the story, and they'll do whatever they want.
And that's what I mean, right?
That's like the negative side of it. And obviously, like with the Leveson inquiry and everything that was happening there, like that's awful, and that's like terrible, bad practice of journalism. And a lot of people have like had really bad experiences with the press. However, there's this other side to it, which is what I'm really interested in, which is about like sharing stories of other people and finding those stories and giving other people a platform to speak. And then there's the other side, which is like investigative journalism, mm-hmm. which is incredible and
but tough as well, right?
Tough,
because
yeah.
you have to, that's when you have to separate yourself from that kind of like empathetic way that you, if you're uncovering and going deep into things, you really have to sort of, that's a prime example of, this is my job, I have to separate myself yeah. from it, right?
Yeah, well, I interviewed, when I was interning at Vice, I was writing articles for them. And one of the things I interviewed a investigative journalist called Heather Brooks, and she basically uncovered the Expenses scandal with the MPs that happened a few years ago.
Just for the listeners who obviously don't understand that, because I obviously do, why don't you quickly update them all on the that little bit?
All right, sorry. Yeah, for the listeners, the Expenses scandal was basically a scandal to do with MPs' expenses. They were claiming expenses on things that they shouldn't be, like whole other houses.
That's what it was.
MPs get a list of things they can expense, like anyone in any job, but they were putting stuff on their expenses that they shouldn't have been. So anyway, this journalist, Heather Brooks, she was one of the people who uncovered the fact that all these MPs were putting things they shouldn't be on their expenses and basically wasting tons of taxpayers' money.
How did she find this out?
Well, it took her so long, and she was, I interviewed her so long ago, so I can't fully remember, but it was with her and help of the Times of London, the newspaper. But she basically got her hands on some documents, which showed that this was what was happening.
What, she suddenly like picked them up and was like, holy
no,
shit.
She found it at a USB. No, I think it was a USB somewhere. She managed to get her hands on these documents after a lot of investigating and finding out that there was something suspicious going on.
I thought you literally meant she went and found a USB. Yeah.
On the back. She found the USB on the street. She was like, fucking hell, what is this?
I'm going to be a journalist.
She found a floppy disk and was like, fucking hell.
Actually, maybe it was a floppy disk. I feel like I remember I telling her it was either floppy disk or a USB.
It was not a floppy disk.
It wasn't that long ago.
Something happened and she found stuff out. But basically she said, which is what stuck with me when I was interviewing her, that the public will never, ever be as interested in the story as you are. And it will nearly always just, you know, be, what was it? Tomorrow's chip paper.
Yes.
So that's hard, I think, as a journalist, is like you've been working on something for so long and you think you've really like, you're showing like the good in society or the bad in society, and then you put it out there and someone just scrolls past it and then looks at a video of a cat.
But isn't that just life? Okay, fine. Prime example, right? So this is why my parents growing up were always like, you gotta give like thank you letters because it's so important, because you get people who invite you to their houses and they throw you a party or whatever it is and you drink all their, it's uncanny how close this comparison is. But you get these people's houses, they throw you a party and things like that, and at the end of it you don't say thank you, just walk away because you haven't spent the money, you don't care about it, you just enjoyed all of it, right? So do you see,
for my birthday in year 8, yeah, I had a 60s and 70s party.
Sick.
And
what
fans dress.
So wait,
my 30th birthday was 60s themed, and I actually did thank you letters to everyone for coming.
No, you didn't.
And I got bullied for so long afterwards.
I think that the
for giving the notes out, they were all personalised with a photo of them that had been taken from
No, you're lying. Oh my god!
Yeah, so I
know
a lot about thank you letters.
But did you always have goodie bags at the end of it?
Oh,
no?
Yeah,
you did. Yeah. What is the 60s and 70s? Was it like it was housewives and like housewives and like businessmen going to like jobs? Is that it?
Yeah, exactly. That was basically what it was.
Businessmen going to jobs.
And a DJ that we found from the Yellow Pages.
Oh my god.
How do you find that?
From the Yellow Pages. And I remember specifically going up to him and asking him to play Mika.
Yeah, yeah.
And Grace Kelly, which is number one at the time. And he was like, do I have that? And I was like, but it's number one. I do not have it. So I'm all in a jug.
Do you know what's so funny? It's the shockness of it is still in your voice. Wait, but it's number one. How do you not have it? You fucking idiot.
He was about 50 years old.
I bet he killed
him. Oh, God.
How old are you? You must have been, what, 16?
I was 13.
You were 13? What a creepy old man to literally go to a 13-year-old birthday and play music. But he must have gone on there and said,
a DJ.
This shop is weird.
We were all, like, wearing, like, beat... like bonnets in our hair, not yeah, bonnets, like yeah, our hair yeah. back combed and like.
And suddenly everyone realised it was the worst theme they've ever come across. At that age, it's actually like, oh, like, cops and robbers, like, let's go. Oh my God, I know, let's go as like the Beach Boys,
you
know
what I'm saying? My dad
had a crying. Actually crying.
Had a mocktail stand.
He was shaking up the pineapple juice.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. That is freaking. I can't believe at your age, 13 years old, you thought the best party theme was going to be the 60s and 70s. Who does that?
Yeah.
Oh my Lord. Okay, wait, hang on. So you're being a journalist, you're doing all these kind of things, and you're at Central.
Not really being a journalist.
You're not really being a journalist, but you were, and this was your passion, right? And you love, as you said before, your passion kind of behind it was like to discover like people and their interests and what drives them forward. And you that's probably how. I suppose, were you good at school, or did you? How did you learn?
Average at school. Okay. But I was like very, very interested in doing every extracurricular activity that was there as possible.
Oh, so you were one of the cool kids.
Yeah, pretty much.
God, there is a astrology class, I am
a Camion. I am there. Oh, no, I was literally in every single club, like, and the youth club as well was like an example of like, I didn't have to do that.
Is that because you just didn't want to go home?
Yeah, I just didn't want to go home.
Hey, everyone, we're going to come back with Private Parts in just 1 second, just after this.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whew, there we go. Now let's get back into it. So you thought, I got to learn all these different things and learn about all these people because then that's going to make me get a good job. Or what was it?
No, never like to be smarter or like anything. It was more like I've always wanted to like create content that was like that people enjoyed and like was amusing. And like I've always had like humor running through like everything I've done, even when I was at school, like on extracurricular projects. And I've always just wanted to like make people laugh and like put out content that's funny. So I feel like with everything I've done and with what I was trying to do with the youth club and the magazine was like to be making something that was like entertaining.
Because I suppose that really was that. And that's also a bit of a niche, like probably not that many people would doing that in that kind of way. You're doing everything with like a touch of humor at like that like young age. Everyone's trying to think, because that's not cool in a sense, right?
But I feel like it's so obvious when you're at school that like the person who makes everyone laugh is like gets the attention of the room.
Agreed.
And so like I feel like from a young age, like I knew that like when I was at when I started secondary school, like, I didn't have that many friends, and like mainly because I was the library assistant at school, and I was chose to spend my breaks and my lunch in the library returning books.
Constantly returning books.
Okay. And I was also an IT scholar. So,
I went
to a state school, so there wasn't any like paid for scholarship. So all that happened was like you wore a gold tie and then everyone else wore a green tie. So you just stuck out as like a nerd.
You just stood out. You were sort of put on a pedestal of being a nerd.
And I used to pretend that I was a drama scholar. But then people would find me out, she's not a drama scholar, she's an IT scholar. Yeah. And I'm like,
look at her tie, look at her gold tie.
Yeah.
But I almost congratulate, I think that's pretty epic because, I suppose, but did you, were you not worried about like fitting in, or did you want to fit in, or what was it like in a sense?
Well, I always thought because I didn't have that many friends when I was starting off at school, like I realised that like, oh, I told a joke or like, oh, I did something funny and then people like wanted to hang out with me.
Yeah.
So I was like, great. Okay, cool. Let's carry this on. And so I feel like I've always been awkward and played off that. And like, I've been able to like, I don't know, connect with people because, but through making them laugh.
Yeah. But also I think it's because I don't think you're even though, and this is how this is just a lovely segue. I mean, this segue is going to be absolute. It's going to be like a train going through a tunnel. I can't wait. But it's true. Your awkwardness that you sort of portray in a sense, especially in a Chicken Shop Date, almost makes it more comfortable for the person to sit with you, I feel.
Yeah.
And so perhaps that's what you're in line. And you know, I met you when we were at YouTube and we're meeting now, but you are a very comfortable person to be around. And perhaps that what drew people then towards you because you were comfortable, you were very funny and you were all these kind of things. And nothing. But the other thing is that I was the same as you, where I realized that making people laugh got me attention.
Yeah.
And then I became obsessed, which you probably didn't know,
with attention.
You probably never knew that, but I am obsessed with it. It's like a drug. I just can't. But then I had the issue where, which we spoke of this again on another podcast, but then it almost became me where I always then had to have the center of attention.
Right.
And that became an issue for me. Has that ever become an issue with you or no?
Well, I don't know. You probably have to ask my friends. But I don't feel like I need to be the center of attention. I just know that like what my strengths are and that I can.
But that's been incredibly self-aware, right? So you're just really self-aware.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I am really self-aware. Maybe too much so. But I feel. But yeah, no, I've never sort of wanted to be like the center of attention all the time. But I don't know. Maybe I do.
But then the thing is, right? But then the thing is that, so you're doing this. So you're at Central St. Martin's, you're doing all this kind of piece and you want to make funny content. And then you decide to start making this series, correct?
Yeah. Because I just think that like, if you can make someone laugh, like they're going to like it.
I can agree
like,
more.
So I just thought, well, why isn't everything always really funny? But that like, I'm just not interested in making stuff that's really earnest. Like it cringes me out. I like watching serious things and I like watching earnest stuff, but me myself, like maybe it's also like from growing up and like in school, like, and the friends I made when I was like, a bit older that they'd rip you apart if you like, did anything sincere.
Yeah.
Like it's just too
same. And that's the kind of thing that I grew up with.
Yeah, so like I think that yeah, carry on.
Sorry, I'm just getting
on
this
website called brainyquote.com.
No, because I just wanted to it's where I go to for all my quotes. No, but it's true, but I wanted to just before you continue, just catch the thing about humor, which I completely agree with. Making people laugh is it's the most amazing thing because you make other people happy, you make yourself happy, and everyone has a good time. And there's a great movie called Patch Adams. Have you ever seen it with Robin Williams?
No, but I love Robin Williams.
Oh my god, you have
I
to
need
watch.
To watch it.
Oh, you've never? Have you ever watched Pete?
Of course.
Oh, I've never watched it.
Oh my god.
Aww.
I mean, it's basically Patch Adams is a true story about a physician in America who set up the first like the first time, like the NHS in the UK, but the equivalent in America, where he gave free healthcare to people. And he kind of did it illegally-ish, didn't he? He sort of did it illegally, yeah, type thing. And it's about him and the way he did it through humor. And he says, one of his quotes is, there's loads and I can't find the exact one, but one of them is, humor is the antidote to all ills. Mm. And it is so true. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah, yeah.
And humor as well, I think humor, music and magic.
Magic.
Yeah, I really do. I think man can connect magic. Anyone from anywhere in the world. And that's the thing that
maybe
connects.
Maybe that should be my next project.
Doing magic.
Doing magic. Magic, yeah, yeah. Show.
But what I want to get, you would then wanted to set up the series. How did that happen? How did you start setting things up with Chicken Shop Date?
Well, so I was like, I think more it was like, I wanted to interview musicians. I was really interested in music. And then you'd ask the group, who should I interview? And then they suggest loads of different rappers. So that's how it kind of started, that I would go and meet UK rap stars. But at the beginning, they were just people's friends, like friends of friends who had like put out a mixtape or something. But from the beginning, I knew that I wanted it to have humor, to be funny, to not just be like a regular interview. I was really bored of listening and reading the same kind of, what are your musical influences?
I can agree
and
more.
Those kind of things. And I feel like pop world had finished and
pop world
with Simon Amstel, which is like such a big inspiration for me and Chicken Shop Date. And he would really
was pop world
with Simon Amstel
on channel four Saturday mornings. It was amazing.
It was so good. You love it.
Wait, what the hell happened with
and then
pop world?
And then Alexa Chung took over and then
Rick
basically
used to be on it.
It was Makita Oliver and Simon Amstel to begin with, and they basically sort of would get musicians on there and they would ask them ridiculous questions and they'd like be like very sarcastic and tongue-in-cheek and they just like have a laugh with them and it would be really unique and entertaining and funny.
And it normalizes them, right?
Can yeah be, like humanizes totally them. Humanizes them. And like that's what like I like doing in Chicken Shop Date too, so I kind of wanted it to have that feel. And then I thought that a date would be a great way to do an interview, like as a format. And then I think someone said, oh, you should go, to make it funnier, you should go on a date where you would never go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chicken Shop.
And so that's how it kind of happened?
Yeah, because you would never go on a date to a chicken shop. But now I go on them all the time. It's the only place I go.
But is it is it the thing which I find interesting is that firstly, so you started making this channel, then when did it start to pick up traction? Because you're now the guests that you are getting are freaking huge. Like, you're getting some big names.
Oh, yeah, we got Sean Paul.
Yeah, which is insane.
I know. I heard that he was a fan, like, a year ago, and so I was been trying to get him.
Isn't that mad?
I know, it's crazy. It's so crazy, but because I've been, it's weird, but because I've been doing it since I was, like, 17, and, like, now I'm 24, so whatever. Jamie, you do the maths.
Yeah, that's like 5 years ago. Is it five? No, it's seven.
Seven years
ago.
But now
I should
like,
have taken your extra curricular class.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah, we've got Sean Paul. About time. Like, I'm doing it. Like, do you know what I mean? So I'm like, yeah, because I've been trying so hard. I just remember back in the day when I could not get anybody on and like it was so hard. And I'd be like emailing PRs, emailing managers, like going back and forth for like months and months. And like, I still do that now. But like, it is amazing when you get those big artists on and it seems, but then you think, oh, wow, well, it's.
But it's insane. But also, it's down to you and your content. Your content's freaking brilliant. Like, and it really, really, really is. And it's so clever the way it's done. And it, but also, I generally believe that these things, like hard work, pays off in the end. And the fact that you were doing this all yourself, you were emailing the PR, you were doing these kind of things the entire time, and then it starts to pay off, you know, in the end, right?
Yeah.
And when you were sending emails to like the PR people, what would you say to them? Would you be like, hey, I've got this like channel, here we go.
No, because first it started off as a column in the magazine. So I'd write up the interviews and then my friend would take photos. And that was just, I don't even know why people would even like come on it, honestly. Like, now I'm shocked when I'm looking back because it is pretty bizarre.
Yeah, but it's funny. It's good.
Yeah, no, but like the concept is bizarre. But then, basically,
I want to go on a date with your client in a chicken shop.
Right, cool. But then I think a lot of PRs and management were like, this is different. This is interesting. This is something that's not, we haven't been done before. Mm. Like when, so then Get was the first filmed interview and it took me quite a while to like pluck up the courage to like actually film them because I was like, oh no, like what if it's not going to be good enough to let all this stuff. And then I was interning on a music video, like being a runner, and I met some camera guys, and then I asked them, oh, I've got this idea, like, would you mind filming it? They're like, yeah, we'll bring our kit, we'll come film, we'll film it for you.
Amazing. And yeah, then, that's amazing,
so
right?
Generous.
Yeah. But he actually, at the time, they like looked after the kit for like a big
kit house.
Yeah. And they let the people who worked there take it after hours. And so we'd film like normally like on Monday, Tuesday, like after 8 PM. And at the beginning, I didn't used to shut the shop, which is actually quite annoying because we'd have to like stop every time someone would come in, but I couldn't afford to shut it. So we just had to like stop filming like all the time. And it was like really embarrassing for like the artists.
Wait, you had to pay for to keep the shop open?
No, to like be there.
You had to.
Well, now I do, yeah. But before, I just didn't have the cash to do that.
Yeah.
So we just have to like beg, oh, please, can you just like put a sign out and like just make sure that like minimal customers come in.
Did you ever have like things like, because it's hard when you haven't, especially like someone like these artists coming in. Do you ever get that time where you're literally like, oh God, I'm going to have to interview these people and it could be awkward and oh God, and this and that. Or do you just like, you just go like, fine, you just jump into character and you're in.
Yeah. I kind of just jump into character because like, yeah, it's also... It's meant to be awkward. So I've got that luxury. Like if they think I'm like, I'm a freak and it's weird.
It's
and
genius.
It's really awkward. It's genius because I'm like, cool. Well, this is going in the edit. it doesn't have to flow because that's where the humor comes from because it's like an anti-interview. I wanted to make like the antithesis of what an interview should be. And so, that's basically it. But I'm now banned from the chicken shop in Farringdon because...
Why?
Well, because it does actually now a Thai restaurant, so thank God.
Yeah, but, they lost that, so yeah.
because there was a queue outside of people because the cameras like were backing up onto the door so they no one could get in. And there was like a queue of people and then they were like, you've like disrupted our business so much. Like, you could never come back here again. And I was like, okay. I'll just go to one of the other 20 million ones.
So you turned a chicken shop into a Thai restaurant. You sent them under.
No.
Right, everyone. Amelia, you can stick around for part two, right, aren't you? Well, you're going to have to, because otherwise we...
Yeah.
Yeah, stick around for part two.
Sticking around.
You're sticking around.
Yeah, I mean, can't go anywhere, can I?
No, we've locked the doors.
Locked the doors.
Stick around for part two, guys. We've still got Amelia and loads more stories. Pete, say something cool.
Thank you.
Wicked. See you in part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are...
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.